We're turning in our Bible to that passage we read together in Acts chapter 17. And with our Bibles open before God, shall we bow and commit our message to the Lord? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for thy presence here. We do thank you, Lord, for every head that's bowed. And we do pray much for thy presence, and that the preaching of thy word would bring forth fruit. Lord, we pray that thy word would have free course and be glorified. Bless the message to all our hearts. And Lord, give us a burden and a vision again for souls. And help us, Lord, to weep for the erring one, to lift up the fallen, and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Bless, we pray now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is on his second missionary journey. And the Lord has led him to Macedonia. And he has come there with his companions, Silas and Timothy. And they went to the chief city of Macedonia, which was Philippi. They stayed there for a while, and then they left, and they went to Thessalonica. In Thessalonica, souls were saved. But there's great opposition from the unbelieving Jews. So they leave there, and they come to a place called Berea, and there the people welcome them and read the word, and so saved. But again, the Jews from Thessalonica come down and cause trouble. So Paul leaves, and we find him here in Athens. So he is. And that's what we want to look at today. Paul in Athens. First of all, we'll see what he saw in verse 16. While Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. He saw the city wholly given to idolatry. The margin reads, it was full of idols, so it was. All the gods of Greece and many more had altars in Athens. They even had one to the unknown God, just to be in the safe side. Now, this was no ordinary city. This was a university city of the Roman Empire. This was the place of culture, of learning. This was the city where the great philosophers like Socrates and Plato had their seat. And because of these things, the Roman government left them alone, didn't interfere with them. But this was a city in darkness and superstition. In spite of their education, philosophy, and great culture, the people of Athens were in darkness and superstition. And this is what Paul saw, so it was. He saw the real people. People who were lost. People who were in darkness. They were worshipping idols and false gods. And Paul saw the great need of that city. And here he, of course, was like the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was. The Bible tells in Matthew, fainted and was scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He saw the people as sheep without shepherd. He saw the real need. He saw them lost. Beloved, we live in a day of great need. So we do. People today may be better off, better educated, nice homes, more wealth and affluence. But the need is still the same. People are lost in sin. They're lost to God. And we need to see this, so we do. And the Lord wants us to see it. He says, lift up thine eyes onto the fields that are white or ready unto harvest. All around us, people are lost without Christ and without hope. And we need to see that. And we do pray that the Lord would give us a vision of lost souls. And then what Paul felt, again in verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. His spirit was stirred in him. In other words, beloved, he had a burden for these people. Here were people, in spite of their great education, their culture and learning, they were lost. And Paul got a burden for them. His heart went out to them. Again, he was like the Lord Jesus Christ, his Saviour. That verse again says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion. He had a burden for the people. His heart went out to them. The Apostle Paul was a man with a burden for souls. Over there in the book of Romans, he had a burden for the house of Israel. In chapter 9, it says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom there pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. And we'll see how strong this burden is. He says, I could wish that myself were a curse from Christ for my brother. In other words, he's saying he could wish if Israel could be saved if he was cast into hell. That's the kind of burden this man had for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again in chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. And then he also had a burden for the Gentiles in the book of Acts in chapter 20. And in verse 17, it says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me from the lying in wait of the Jews. How I kept nothing back, but nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see there, he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and many tears and temptation. here's a man with a burden for souls. On down the chapter, it says in verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all, the whole counsel of God." There's a man, friend, with a burden for souls. And that's what we need today, some of us. This is what we need today. We need a burden for souls. We need to hear the tramp, tramp, tramp of Christless feet going down to a lost sinner's hell. We need to hear the cry from hell. Maybe you're saying today, what is the cry from hell? Well, when the rich man died and opened his eyes in hell, he asked for someone to bring water to cool his tongue. That was not allowed. But then he said, "Send Lazarus back to my brother to warn him not to come to this place." And that's the cry from hell. Someone go and tell my family. Someone go and tell my friends. And warn them not to come to this place. Jeremiah has said these words. He said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain, the daughters of my people." John Knox, the Protestant reformer of Scotland, cried out, "Give me Scotland, or I die." Robert, that's a burden. So that's, we see the need of men and women and hear the tramp, tramp, tramp of them going down to a lost eternity. And then what Paul did in verse 18. "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. And some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, he seemed to be the setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Paul was waiting for Timothy and Silas to join him. He had already brought the gospel to Greece. In Macedonia, he had been imprisoned and beaten. In Thessalonica, there was uproar. In Berea, again, there was trouble. Paul could have taken a break, so he could. He could have enjoyed the sights and the sounds of the city. He could have appreciated this city of culture and learning. But Paul could not do that. He had to witness for Christ. Where he started in verse 17, "Wherefore it disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews." He started with the Jews. He started with his own people. And then he reached out into the city. And with the devout persons in the market daily, and with them that met with him. So really. And what he preached, Jesus and the resurrection. Beloved, the same message he preached everywhere else. The only message that could meet the need of the human heart. Something all the learning and education of the Athenians couldn't do for them. And we have the scope of the message. Jesus and the resurrection. He could tell them about his deity, that the Lord Jesus Christ was the second person of the Trinity. He was the Son of God. He was God the Son. He could tell about an incarnation, a miraculous birth, that he was conceived as a virgin by the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary, and his birth was a sinless one and a miraculous one. He could speak about his wonderful life. It was a sinless life. He went about, he knew no sin, he did no sin. He never had to tell a lie, he never told a lie. He never said a wrong thought, a wrong word. He never had to apologize to anyone for anything. And then it was a life of service. He went about doing good, healing the sick, feeding the multitudes, cleansing the lepers, and raising the dead. He could tell about his wondrous life. And then take them to the cross and tell them about Christ's atoning death, that he died there, the just for the unjust, that he may bring them to God. He could speak of his resurrection, that Christ is alive, and alive forevermore, and is able to say it to the uttermost, all who come unto God by him. And that's the message he preached, friend. Christ crucified, risen, and exalted. And oh, beloved, we have the same message, shall we say. It's still the power of God unto salvation. It still meets the need of the human heart. It still has power to transform men's lives and make the vilest sinner clean. And everybody needs to hear it. That's why Jesus said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Charles Wesley wrote those words, may all the world taste and see the riches of his grace, the arms of love that compass me with all mankind embrace. Oh yes, friend, what he preached, the glorious gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then last of all, we have the results of all of this. Verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a one woman named Damaris, and others also. Beloved, the message was rejected. The simple message of the gospel was rejected. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And of course, so it is. It's foolishness. But Paul's faithfulness was rewarded. There was a few people saved. So there was. And that was the nucleus of a work for God. Beloved, we need to spread the gospel. We are called to be witnesses. Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. People need to hear the gospel, so they do. Whether they receive it or reject it, we still need to be faithful. The psalmist said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, my friend today, let's be faithful to the Lord. The hymn writer said, weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, and tell them of Jesus, the mighty deceiver. May God help us. May we have a burden for souls. May we have a vision of the lost. We have the message that can meet the human need.
God bless His word to our hearts today. We have a closing hymn. Hymn 521. God made me for Himself to serve Him here. With love's pure service and with fearless fear, to show His praise, for Him to labour not, and see His glory with the angels by. If you're not familiar with it, well, you'll be familiar with the tune, I hope.